Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. We're going to pick it up on chapter 17, and I'll speak for Pastor Perry and I. Boy, it's been a joy going through the Gospel of John, hasn't it? It's really been something else, I tell you. It's just very powerful. I truly believe John knew Jesus best. We look at verse 1 in chapter 17. Once again, this is the night of the Last Supper, and they're probably in the garden or close to the garden, and Jesus prays. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. And the standard position for prayer for the Jews would be to have your hands out towards heaven and lifted up and your eyes lifted up and open, and you'd pray to God this way, okay? So that's how Jesus was praying, most likely, all right? And he says, Father, or Abba, Daddy, okay? The time has come. And what's interesting is Jesus knew God's timing perfectly, right? He knew exactly the timeline that God was using, all right? Don't you wish you had that insight? Okay. And he says, glorify your Son. By the way, Jesus is praying for himself here, but you could hardly tell he's praying for himself, huh? Okay. He says, glorify your Son. And the glorification of the Son in the Gospel of John is when Jesus is hung on a cross. Okay, that's the glorification of the Son. That your Son may glorify you. So it's reciprocal. Whenever the Father glorifies Jesus, Jesus glorifies the Father. One cannot be glorified without the other being glorified. Sounds kind of like the Trinity, huh? All right? But it's always reciprocal. In the Message, Eugene Peterson writes, display the bright splendor of your Son. I love that, rather than glorification, bright splendor, because we can understand that better, okay? So that the Son, in turn, may show your bright splendor. But the point is that Jesus' focus was to bring glory to his Father, no matter what the cost was going to be, all right? He would bring glory to his Father in heaven. We see this in John chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Matthew chapter 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Matthew 26. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. John 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Philippians 2. Paul writes, Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, as Jesus was obedient, we are called to be obedient to God also. In fact, we're called to be slaves to God. Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. And he uses the word slaves, okay? Not just servants. That means we live for him, all right? That's the idea. So what should our focus in this life be? Bringing glory to God by doing his will. And that's what we always do, right? That's supposed to be our main focus. The same as that of Christ Jesus, right? And is this an easy road? No. It's very difficult, all right? Luther writes, As God's name must be hallowed and His kingdom must come even without our prayer, so must His will be done and prevail, even though the devil and all his hosts storm and rage furiously against it in their attempt to utterly to exterminate the gospel. But for our own sake, we must pray that His will may be done among us without hindrance, in spite of their fury, in spite of the devil's fury, so that they may accomplish nothing and we may remain steadfast in the face of all violence and persecution, submitting to the will of God. So it's not going to be an easy road, right? Do we always understand God's purpose immediately? No, never, right? I'm going to use an example I used a couple weeks ago on Wednesday. So for those of you who aren't here on Wednesday, you'll hear something new. If you've been here Wednesday, like Gilbert, you've heard it already, okay? So many, many years ago, when I was 4 or 5 years old, my parents were alcoholics, and they would drink every night, even on school nights, and they'd stay up until 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning fighting, okay? And we weren't in that large a house, so you could hear just the screaming and the fighting. And I was about 4 or 5, and my sister Bonnie, who you guys know, she's kind of weird, and there's a reason why she's kind of weird, okay? And Bonnie, I know you're going to be listening to this. I love you. But anyway, she had her own room, and she would come into my brother Barry and my room. And mind you, she's probably 2 years old, maybe 3, okay? And she'd come walking in the middle of the night, and she'd say, "Ricky, can I sleep with you?" And I'd say, "Ah, go sleep with Mom and Dad." And she said, "They won't let me." And then I said, "Well, go to, you know, Dennis, Barry." "No, they won't let me." So I let her sleep with me, and it was really interesting because at that time, I often wondered, you know, how you look back in your childhood and you wonder, you know, what was God's purpose in all this stuff, you know, where a four or five year old boy and a 2 year old girl are terrified every night. They don't know if they're going to wake up and their parents are going to be there, you know. And they hear all this hateful speech. Well, just recently the Lord's brought it back to my attention. And I think, number one, I was raised Catholic, but at a very young age, I was in tune to the presence of God. And I knew that God was real. And I knew that He loved me. All right? And that's where I turned. And I think that's where my sister turned also, and most of us kids. We had nowhere else to go, okay? So we would turn to God. And I knew God was love, okay? The other thing is I believe that even at that time, I think the Lord sowed seeds of compassion in my heart, all right, that I may not have had otherwise. I hadn't had that experience. And even though I lost that compassion for quite a time in my life, all right, the seeds of compassion were sown. And maybe there's something you're struggling with that, you know, from your past that you can't, you know, figure out why on earth did this happen, or maybe something in your present. And I would ask that you pray and ask God to enlighten you as to what His purpose is. Because even out of the worst situations, He will make something good. Amen? We look at the next verse. Verse 2. That was just verse 1. Wow, we're just really... It's a good thing I don't have 20 verses today, right, Pastor? "For you granted Him authority." That means legal rights or power, okay? Like a king over all power. Over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those you have given Him. And eternal life in the Greek is something that God's possessed. It's not something that people possess. So this is a God's life, okay? So He's been given God's life. And He can give it to all those you have given Him. That's His disciples. And once again, the grace of God is seen. It's a divine act. Nobody is earning it, right? He's giving it. But there's also a responsibility. We've been chosen to serve. We've been chosen to be slaves. And is that how Christians normally think? No. What are you going to do for me, God? Right? So we've been chosen to serve. Verse 3, now this is eternal life. This is God's life. That they may know you in intimate relationship with God the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Obedience to Christ and to the Father is a gift that we receive, okay? But do you see the intimate relationship we're invited into? And what happens when we talk about eternal life? We usually think of heaven, right? According to Jesus, is that eternal life? Eternal life is knowing God. It's living in His presence, okay? That's eternal life, all right? It's not heaven. That's the stuff of cartoons, okay? Eternal life is living in a loving relationship with God and having Him live in us, all right? The message, once again, and this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Once again, there's a connection with Jesus and God as being divine. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Okay? So when we trust Jesus, we have eternal life, all right? Because we know Him. 1 John, the life appeared. I love this. The life appeared. And who is the life? It's Jesus, right? We have seen it. We've seen Jesus, and we testify to it. We testify about Jesus. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, Jesus, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So if you want eternal life, you live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? If you want the life that God lives, you live in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are there other ways? I don't think so. Not according to God's Word, right? 1 John 1:2. The life appeared. Once again, Jesus appeared. We have seen it, Jesus, and testify to Jesus. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, Jesus, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. It's pretty clear, isn't it? You want eternal life? You can't have it without Jesus Christ, all right? When you accept Jesus Christ, you have that eternal life, all right? Because He is eternal life, personified. Philippians 3:7, Paul writes, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. This is Paul writing this while he's in jail, okay? Do you think he knew Jesus? Yeah, but he wanted more of Him, right? I want to know Him even more. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. All right? So he knew that by knowing Christ, he would rise from the dead. Okay. He didn't know how he would, but he knew he would obtain it. All right? So knowing Jesus changes everything. But most importantly, is it changes us, right? We lose the victim mentality and we realize that our God is bigger than our problems. We can have peace even during the worst of times and endure the worst attacks of Satan. Luther writes, It is our solace and boast that the will and purpose of the devil and of all of our enemies shall and must fail and come to naught, no matter how proud, secure, and powerful they think they are. For if their will were not broken and frustrated, the kingdom of God could not abide on earth, nor his name be hallowed. This past week, I've had the privilege of visiting Bruce Berkshire in the hospital again. And I really enjoy my visits with Bruce, okay? Some of the insights he has is just amazing, you know, since the Lord appeared to him. It's just amazing, you know. And I was talking to him about, you know, the spiritual war we're in here at Amazing Grace, you know, that we're fighting for souls and that at the same time Satan strikes back. You know, I'm talking about the spiritual warfare. And he said to me, you know, Pastor, can you imagine how angry Satan is? And I said, I'd never really thought of that, Bruce. And he said, well, look at all the times he loses. Amen. And I said, wow. He does lose a lot, right? He's got a big L on his forehead, right? Okay. Because he lost the ultimate battle, but he loses all these little battles also all along the road, right? So the bottom line is, we win, right?
Amen.
Let's say that together. We win.
Amen.
Loud enough for the devil to hear. We win. Amen. Now he's really ticked off, all right? We look at the next verses, verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth. So he's revealed God's glory to us here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So through his obedience, he brings glory to God. And once again, his glory is on the cross, okay? And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now, if Jesus is just a man, right, what's he talking about? Doesn't make sense, right? What he wants to do, and Pastor Perry's touched on this last Sunday, he remembers the glory he had with God before he put on flesh. And he's looking forward to going back there, right? And he knows that's where he's going. So he's claiming to be divine. He's saying, I'm God. Once again, the message reads, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. The Son of God existed before there was a world. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Who's John talking about here? Jesus, right? John 5, for this reason the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he, Jesus, was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son, Jesus, to have life in himself. John 6, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, Jesus. Only he, Jesus, has seen the Father. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. And 1 John chapter 5, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true and eternal life. True God and eternal life. Philippians 2, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So the bottom line is, Jesus is God. All right? Makes a big difference, right? Once again, is there another way to know God the Father? If Jesus is God, Luther writes, these are the texts that establishes the divinity of Christ. Given that we may know and believe that our Lord and Savior, born of the Virgin Mary, is also a true and natural God, born of the Father in eternity. He is not to be counted among the angels, but He is the Lord and Creator of the angels and of all creatures. As Paul states in the first chapter of Colossians 1:16, through Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, both thrones and dominions. With these and kindred passages, the article pertaining to the deity of Christ has been defended and maintained at all times in the Church against all heretics. And it will assuredly also be preserved against the devil and his blasphemous followers until the end of the world, that we may not doubt, but know and believe that our dear Lord and Savior, born of the Virgin Mary, is also the real, true, and natural God and Creator, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are assured here that the Father creates all things through the Son. This is under attack today, right? Not just by unbelievers, but by Christians, or people who profess to be Christians. But the fact that Jesus is God changes everything. Since Jesus is divine, we have the power of the living God working in us and through us. When we live in a relationship with Jesus, His life and power flow through us to serve Him, not to serve us. And the sad truth is, next one please, Christians settle for so much less in life, right? I'll go to church maybe once or twice a month, get my card punched, and that'll be it, right? They're settling for so much less. Do you see what God's offering us? To know eternal life, to know Him. What happens when we... when we don't settle for so much love, when we truly want to know Him more, what happens is what Hazel was talking about last week. Her back is still not sore because Sandy prayed for it. And another thing, this week, Monday, we had a tremendous prayer time, and Sandy laid on hands on Pastor Perry and I, and she put a hand on my back and prayed. She was just praying for us, you know. And I felt the power of the Lord come upon me, and it felt like it just shot right through my spine. And I have arthritis in my back, and I haven't, even though I've been very active this week, I haven't had any pain either. So if you have back problems, go see Sandy. Okay. It's not her, though. It's the power of God working through her to bring Him glory, right? Another illustration, there was a man who, a Scotsman, and he was on his deathbed, and he's laying there, and his friend comes in to visit him, and he says, well, you're not going to be with us too much longer. And by the way, I don't recommend you say that to somebody who's on their deathbed, okay? But he goes on to say, I hope you get a wee glimpse of the Savior's blessed face as you're going through the valley of the shadow. And he says, away with that glimpse, man. It's a full view of His blessed face I've had these 40 years. And I'll not be satisfied with any of your wee glimpses now. Amen? And isn't that what we settle for a lot of times, is just a wee glimpse? When Jesus says, here I am. Know me. Live in me and I'll live in you. Okay. We can have the full measure of Christ living in us, okay? The full measure of God. And we settle for so much less. So do we have a full view of Jesus and of God? Well, if not, we're going to pray for it right now, okay? And brothers and sisters, there's times we all... Pastor Perry and I don't always live in the presence of God, okay? There's times we all stumble and fall, all right? But He's here. And just realize that He's here, and He just wants us to know that and to live in His presence. Amen? Pastor, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, open the eyes of our heart, Lord, to truly see You, to get a full view. On vacation, we want so much to have a room with a view. Lord, we want to have a life with a view of You. To see You in all Your glory, in Your splendor, Your dazzling bright light that shines around You and from You into us, Lord. It's Your glory, it's Your light, it's Your life, it's Your joy. So Lord, show us Your glory so that we can reflect Your glory to others. Lord, we ask that You would take the scales off our eyes, Lord, when we start looking downward instead of upward, or looking to ourselves or others instead of to You, and then reflect Your light like the moon reflects the light of the sun. So Lord, help us to rise and shine, because Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord does rise upon us. We thank You for Your light. We thank You for Your glory. Show us more of You, Lord. More of You. Thank You for Your presence. And we ask for more of Your presence. Right now, Lord, minister to us individually, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. I ask for a blessing for every single person here and those who hear over the internet, wherever they may be, all over the world. Your light shines all over the world. You are the light of the world, Lord Jesus. And You call us to be Your lights and shine for You, to shine with dazzling light that comes from You. And when we live in darkness, Lord, when we run back to the light, to You, Jesus, to the cross, to the empty tomb, to receive more light, more forgiveness, more love, more joy, more power, more peace, and then go right back into this darkened world and shine that light. Because where Your light shines, the darkness cannot remain. But first, remove the darkness in our hearts and our lives right now, Lord. We pray for those who are tempted to go back to the darkness, for all those who have had recovery in addictions of all types or codependency, but are tempted or have relapsed. We ask, Lord, bring them back to the light. For those that are still stuck in addictions, Lord, bring them back to You, the light. For those that are imprisoned in their own lives that they've created and they can't get out of the web that they've weaved, Lord, bring them back to the light, the penetrating light, the laser light that shines and breaks through sin for Jesus Christ. Lord, for all those that are lonely, that are depressed, bring them back to You, the light. For those that we, in the back of our bulletin, praying for healing, Lord, I ask Your healing power, that divine light through Jesus and the Holy Spirit would shine, would penetrate with Your healing power and heal them as You healed Hazel. We thank You for that miraculous healing. For those living in spiritual darkness, as Bruce was, shine Your light into their hearts and minds as well, that they might have a Damascus Road experience and see You for the first time, that You demonstrate and show Your glory and Your light. And if it means being knocked off their horse or their ladder, we ask, Lord, that You be with them through all the way, and to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You, Father, have sent, and who the Holy Spirit keeps revealing more and more. So, Lord, finally, give us a full view. Give us a full view as a church and as individuals of how good You are, God, how amazing You are, and never lose the awe or wonder of learning more about You, because it will take eternity to learn more about You and experience You, because there's more that we can grasp in You, the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, Your kingdom come and Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.